Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Once again, I am Justin Reed. Thank you for joining us here on Reading the Word. That's what we're going to do. We are finishing out our study this week on the invitation song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. We're going to be looking at the chorus, and we're halfway through our point on that one. So I hope you'll join me as we will begin reading the Word, and I will be reading from the King James translation of the Bible. If you have missed any of the series or episodes in this series or want to enjoy any of the other ones, they're all available for free on my website, www.thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. That's thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. All right, we've talked about no turning back. We've looked at the example of Lot's wife. We just finished discussing last week how her name is not recorded because Satan doesn't care about your name. He just wants to have you in his possession. You are his. That's what he wants. Friends, I want us now to look at our third point in this study of no turning back, and that we have a lot of distance to travel. Here in Genesis 19, that's where we were taking our lesson text, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. They had a good little distance. In fact, Lot said he didn't think he could make it all the way up the mountain because he was an older man. And so they settle in a city that's called Zoar, and then Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed. But we see here they stood a lot of distance to travel because they had to get out of the city. Friends, when we're running, we need to run with a purpose. For example, you don't want to run the way that a dog chases his tail. Now, that's one of my favorite things to watch is a puppy, maybe the first or second time they notice that they've got a tail back there, and boy, they just keep going and circles and circles, and they'll run into stuff, and maybe they'll clean your floor in the process. I love watching that, but that's not the way I want to run my Christian race. Friends, instead, I want to do it like I'm running in a 5K to raise awareness for breast cancer. I want to be running with a goal in mind, with that goal of crossing the finish line. I'm reminded of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27, where Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." Paul says, "But I keep under my body and bring into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Friends, all runners run, but only one runner receives a prize. We all run for a while, but friends, we don't need to give up. Let me ask you a question. When Usain Bolt, when he was one body length ahead of his closest competitor in that Olympic championship, did he give up? No, he had to cross the finish line. Go back to the world of NASCAR. Did number 3, Dale Earnhardt, did he ever park his car when he was a full 2 laps ahead of his next competitor and say, "Well, I'm done, I'm ahead of him"? No, he didn't do that. Friends, what about the great Arnold Palmer, who gets a postage stamp this year? Did he ever stop playing his round when he was more under par than his competitors? If he was 12 under par and they were just 10, did he ever say, "Well, I'm more under par than they are"? No, friends. And let me tell you what, Paul, did he ever give up when the people didn't want to hear his message? No. He kept preaching, and then he'd go to another city and preach, and come back to the other one and preach the message to them again. Friends, did Jesus Christ ever stop teaching his message when the Pharisees, Sadducees, the religious elite, the scribes, all these people did not want him to teach it? Did he quit teaching it? No. Whoever brought you to church, did they ever give up on bringing you? Maybe they had to try for a while. Friends, we should never give up on people. We should never give up fighting, running this race. Friends, we need to be like an Energizer Bunny for Christians. We need to keep going and 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 going. Friends, when we stop, we lose momentum. You know, it's a law of science that an object in motion tends to stay in motion, and an object at rest tends to stay at rest. We don't need to stop going. I'm going to tell you a personal illustration here. I work sometimes long days, and I'm sometimes doing 3 or 4 different jobs in a day, maybe preaching, recording radio programs, working, whatever the case may be. And sometimes I'll come home and I need to do some housework as well. Now, if I sit down, I will get no housework done because I'm so exhausted. But if I keep going, that object in motion is going to stay in motion. Now, I may not be as fast as I was that morning, but I'm going to keep going, and I bet a lot of you are like me as well. Friends, we need to keep going, even if it's at a slow pace. We need to keep going in this fight. Friends, we have something we need to run to, and that's God. And there's something we need to run from, that's Satan. That's 1 Peter 5, verse 8, where Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He says, whom? That's Satan. "Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Friends, we always need to be running to God. Always running to Him and towards Him. And God wants to be right in the front of us when we cross the finish line, telling us that He knew we could do it. And He knew we could do it all along. He said, "I watched you." That's what God wants to be. He's like our coach, always working towards Him. And He is always encouraging us along the way. There's no successful athlete in the world that is in the place they're at now without any help from a coach whatsoever. It just doesn't happen, friends. We all need help. God is always more than willing to give it to us. The choice is ours. Are we going to go good or are we going to go bad? Friends, have you decided to follow Jesus? Are you carrying your cross until you see Jesus? Are you saying, "The world behind me, the cross before me"? Are you not going to turn back no matter what? Friends, let me share with you this. I love how the last verse of that song ends. A little different than the first two. The first two, you sing the line three times, "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And then my cross I'll carry." But we see here the last verse says, "No turning back, I'll follow Him." Friends, are you running to God or are you running away from God? Don't run away from God. Run to Him. That concludes our study on reading the Word, but we're just now getting into a good study of God's Word. We do need to pause very quickly, take a break, and tell you where the Wood Church Christ is. I hope you can join us at some time here in the near future. I'll be back on the other side of this break. More Reading the Word here.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you so much for sticking around on the other side of the break. I am just so glad that you did. I want to share with you now one of my favorite Bible stories of all time, and I will help explain, hopefully here in a minute, why it is one of my favorite Bible stories. It's found for us, Mark records as well, but I like Luke's version, and Luke chapter 21, and the first four verses. "And he," that's Jesus Christ, "looked up, and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said," Jesus here speaking, "of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For these, all these, have of their abundance cast in the offerings of God, but she, of her penury, hath cast in all the living that she had." Why do I love this story? I am what is referred to as a numismatist. I study coins and I collect coins. I don't really have a world champion collection, but I love coins. And in fact, some of my most prized coins, and it's not too far away from my studio where I'm standing now, I actually own 2 widow's mites, and they're over 2,000 years old. And so that's why I love this story. Let's examine this story here on Reading the Word and see what it means for our lives today. Jesus Christ and His disciples are there. And back then, when you gave money into the treasury, they didn't pass around a basket like we do on the first day of the week on Sundays. They had a big metal contraption. I almost want you to think of it like a funnel. And you would toss your coins into the top, and then it would go into a locked box down below. Maybe some of those coin receptacles you see at Walmart, maybe where they kind of spin and make a whole lot of noise, if that helps you see it. Now, what these rich men would do is, let's say they got paid $1,000 on their paycheck, and they had, you know, $500 worth of rent, and they had $300 worth of groceries, and so that just leaves them with $200, and then they spend $150 or whatever, it leaves them with $50, right? If my math is correct. Then they would go to their local bank, and they would get it cashed in the lowest coin, so probably in mites, just like the widow gives. And then they'd walk up with this $50, and instead of that being the first fruits of their offering, it's what's left over at the end, and they'd put two or three in at a time, and it'd go ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. And then they put more coins in, ka-chink, 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 and they would keep doing this until they'd used all this money that they had, which was their abundance money after everything had been paid. The problem is they were doing it because you'd hear those coins going ka-chink, 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 ka-chink. And then the Bible tells us this poor widow walks up, and she cast in two mites, and all you hear is ka-chink, ka-chink. There's not a whole lot going on there. And so then Christ says, of a truth I say to you, this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, because she cast in of her abundance the offerings of God, or they did of their abundance, but she of her penury. She cast in all the living that she had. Now, monetary speaking, money-wise, two mites together equaled 1/16 of a cent. That's not a lot at all. So you think she gave not even a whole penny, as we might think today. Or if you want to think of it, maybe she gave a penny, if that helps you illustrate this just a little bit better in your mind. And these other men gave $50. What's the point? What's the crux of this story, you may be asking? Christ is saying he's looking at the attitude behind it. Did the widow give less money-wise? Yes, most certainly. You can never argue she gave more money-wise. But she gave more with the right intent than did the rich men, because they did it to be seen. The widow did not. Friends, we need to be like that widow. We need to give all that we have. Now, all that we have, money-wise, time-wise, we need to give it all to the Lord. But we also don't need to be doing it like the rich men, because they were doing it to make a show. It's almost as if saying, hey, I want you to look, I want you to hear, whether you're looking at me or not, how much I am giving for the Lord, for the treasury. Ka-ching, 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 and they're making this big, awful racket. And then the widow comes up with her two coins, and she goes ka-chink, ka-chink. Friends, the Bible tells us in the second book of Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver. That means we must give with the right attitude of what I'm giving, although it may not be as much as somebody else. What I am giving it for the Lord, for His purpose, that His will might be furthered, might be accomplished here on this earth. Friends, that's the attitude we need to have. That's the attitude that Paul had in mind in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, where he says, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I've given unto the church of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in stores. God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Friends, there are five acts of worship: reading, praying, singing, Lord's Supper, and then the offering. Paul said, make sure you're doing that with the right attitude. Now, here's the kicker. Could I give more? Could we give more? Probably. We need to purpose what we're giving, not only of our money, because I'm not just harping on money. In fact, I'm just sharing with you a Bible story that I love and making a spiritual application. But we need to make sure that we're giving God our all, our best, and from the beginning. Because God is so great, so awesome, so powerful, so mighty, He does not deserve what's left over. God deserves our best. And that's a lesson we learned from the widow and her mites. I have enjoyed this period of time that we have had the privilege to study together. I hope you'll join me next week as we will continue reading the Word of God. Once again, everything that we do here is archived online for free. www.thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. That's thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. Until next week, may the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.